All right, we're back. My name is Steve Elzinga. This is a mini course on taking control of your money. And I want to talk about taking control of your money, seven steps. What are these seven steps? Many in the United States, there's a radio program by a man named Dave Ramsey. And he has these seven steps. I don't know whether seven steps to financial freedom or something. And he's a Christian guy. He's got a radio program. He has like courses that churches do. And it's really simple stuff. I mean, my guess is if I told you to sit down for an hour and to write out seven topics on money management, most people would come up with these seven things. It's not like these seven things are incredibly insightful or anything. It's just that people don't do it. They don't focus on these seven things. They don't have a plan, and they just simply don't do it. Or they weren't taught, or they weren't raised in a home that did these kinds of things. And so they're going to be common sense kinds of things. So I'm going to go over these seven things. We're going to look at six of them in this lecture. Real quick, maybe you want to take a Dave Ramsey class at some point in your life. It would be helpful, but I'm going to give you sort of the flyby overview of these things. And maybe you have these things going on, or maybe you don't. And maybe you want to start these things, or maybe you want to look into it deeper. But I just want to give you a sense of these things. So taking control of your money, seven steps. Step one is to establish an emergency fund. Okay? So I mentioned in one of the other lectures the mistakes that we make with money, that a lot of people live paycheck to paycheck. They spend the money that they make, and they have no extra funds in the bank or anywhere. If something breaks or something goes on or they lose their job, let's say you've bought a house, you have mortgage payments to make, but you don't have an emergency fund, and all of a sudden you lose your job. Well, you could lose your house in the matter of a couple of months because you don't have any money to pay your mortgage. Or your car breaks down and now you can't get to work, and so you need a new car or a new situation. So step one is to establish an emergency fund. So in other words, save your money, earn enough money, and Dave Ramsey talks about, do whatever it takes to get, and I guess the rule of thumb is to get like 3-4 months worth of living expenses. So you've got a mortgage payment every month, you have insurance, you have a car, you have food. You add up all of that. How much do you need to live on for 4 months? And that is the amount of emergency fund that you need. And then he suggests that you go out and get it. How do you get it? Well, maybe you get a second job for a while to get that emergency fund. Or you sell some things. Or you go on an austerity program where you don't spend money on anything. You do whatever it takes to get that emergency fund. Proverbs 10, verse 5, a wise youth makes hay while the sun shines, but what a shame to see a lad who sleeps away his hour of opportunity. So right now is your hour of opportunity. Do whatever it takes to get, 4 or 5 months worth of an emergency fund. So the question, what does this verse suggest in terms of preparing for the unexpected financial burdens that may come our way? Your car blows up, hot water heater quits, spouse loses his or her job, unexpected medical expenses or whatever. So, how might you do this? What unexpected expenses have you had to deal with lately? Think about your own life. What's happened? All of a sudden there's a bill you didn't know was there. Or things break down. You're trying to do these classes online and your computer went out. Or your internet is out or kaput. What amount do you think would be reasonable to set aside for emergencies? So come up with an actual number. This is the number that you want to figure out how you're going to make this extra money, and you're going to stick it in the bank or stick it somewhere where you don't touch it. This is not money that you can spend on other things. You're like, oh, well, we have money in our emergency fund. Let's go out to eat. Let's go on this vacation. See, that's what people do. They have money, and they just spend it. instead of saving it for when they really need it. Step two, pay off all debt using the debt snowball. Debt snowball. So Dave Ramsey talks about a debt snowball. He says, you know, what are all the doubts? You owe money for student loans. You owe money on a car. You have a mortgage. You had credit cards and you bought a bunch of things, and now you're making a credit card payment. Now, traditionally, the way people attack debt is to take on the thing that's the biggest. You know, we owe so much on the car, or we owe money on the credit cards, and the credit cards have the highest interest rate that we're paying. So let's get rid of that first. The student loans, we have low interest rates, so let's not deal with that. And that is a strategy. But what Dave Ramsey suggests is that you find the smallest debt that you have. So you have all these debts. You find the one that's the smallest, because it's the easiest to do something about. He says, then what you do is you take care of that one thing. You take care of that small debt. Then, he says, okay, once that debt is taken care of, then you can apply what you were spending on that small debt, and you can start putting that money and whatever new money you're trying to work on to do the next thing. So in other words, let's say you have five or six things that you owe money on that you're paying off. You're paying off this, paying off a car, paying off a house, paying off student things, your credit card. See, but now you have one done. So the money you were using for this one, you can now apply to the next one. So instead of just one thing, you're applying two. Now when this one's gone, you have two things that you used to pay. And now you can apply it to the third. You see, so as you go, you have more and more money to apply to the debt. So instead of taking on the hardest one, you should start with the easiest one, the smallest one. And then, like a snowball that is building, you know, you make a snowball and then you start rolling it. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger. It's easier to take on the bigger debts. Proverbs 13, verse 11. Dishonest money dwindles away, but whoever gathers money little by little makes it grow. And the same thing with debt. Getting rid of debt little by little by little. So, questions. What are your current debts? Just write them down. Can you write them all down, the total amount and the monthly payment? So what you owe totally and then how it breaks down every month. Do you think you can put this plan in place, this snowball thing? What one would you start with? And why or why not can you not do this? A lot of people have successfully applied this snowball, debt snowball, and they're amazed with the progress. Because debt can be overwhelming, and then we don't do anything about it. In fact, what we do when we're overwhelmed by debt is we go out and get more debt. Okay, step three, save 3 to 6 months of expenses in savings. Okay, so again, this is sort of like that emergency fund, but it's going beyond that. Proverbs 13:11, again, dishonest money dwindles away, but whoever gathers money little by little makes it grow. So how much would you have to put aside to last you 3 months, for example, if you lost your job? Step four, invest 15% of your income into Roth IRAs or a pre-tax retirement. Okay, in the United States, we have something called a Roth IRA. These are investment funds sponsored by the government, and they're sort of ways of dealing with taxes and retirement. So a Roth IRA, let's say I make income this year, I have to pay income tax, federal income tax, state income tax, and Social Security tax on the income that I make. So if I make $50,000, I may have to, pay taxes of $6,000-$7,000 on that money, okay? What a Roth IRA does is it's an investment thing for your retirement, and you use taxed money. In other words, I've paid the taxes on that money, but now that money gets put into a savings thing or an investment thing like stocks or bonds or something like that. or mutual funds. We'll talk about that under investments. But I can put it in there, and let's say I'm 25 years old. I don't take that money out until I'm 65 when I'm retired. So that money has 40 years to grow. The investment grows. If you invested, you know, $10,000 into something and it paid you 10% every year, in 7 years your money will double. So 7 years. So imagine what your money would do in 40 years. Okay? So if I set up a Roth IRA instead of there's the traditional IRA in the United States where you take money that you make and you stick it in the traditional IRA, but you don't pay any taxes on that money, which seems like a great thing. I don't pay taxes on that money. But when that money grows for 40 years on a traditional IRA, when I take the money out after I retire, I have to pay taxes on it then. So the $10,000 has now become $50,000 when I retire. And now I got to pay taxes on $50,000 rather than $5,000. So the Roth IRA, you pay taxes on the money when it's small. And then later when you retire, when the money has increased because of your investments, you get all that money tax-free. So putting it in a Roth IRA is way better for your future. Proverbs 30. Four things on earth are small, yet they are extremely wise. Ants are creatures of little strength, yet they store up their food in the summer. Hyraxes are creatures of little power, yet they make their home in the crags. Locusts have no king, yet they advance together in ranks. A lizard can be caught with a hand, yet it's found in a king's palaces. Are you putting money into a retirement plan? Why or why not? Step 5, fund college and savings for children. Proverbs 22, train a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Now, one thing, you're taking this mini course at Christian Leaders Institute, and we have free classes. How much money do you really have to save for your college? If you went with Christian Leaders Institute, you don't have to save all that much. But the point is, what I'm trying to say is, think about your children's future. Are you putting away for your children's education? Why or not? Why or why are you not? Or what are you doing right now for your children's education? Why not get them started on some classes at Christian Leaders Institute now? Step 6, pay off your house early. So if you own a house, and buying a house is, I think, a good idea. Instead of paying rent and you're not acquiring any equity in your house, you're just paying rent. After 10 years of renting, you don't own any more of that house that you're living in than when you started. So instead, you need a down payment. That's the hard part. So that's the saving, getting a down payment. But once you make that down payment, all you're doing is making payments, like rent payments, but a little bit of the rent payment that you make every month is going to actually pay for your house. Now, in the beginning, it's not a lot because most of what you're doing is interest. A lot of people don't understand that. When you make a house payment and you pay, $1,000 a month or $500 a month or whatever it is, most of that money is just paying for borrowing. You borrowed a bunch of money. Someone gave you money. The bank gave you money to buy a house. They don't do that for no reason. They're doing it to make money. And so you're paying them back. But most of what you're paying at first is just interest. You're not actually paying for your house yet. It's towards the end that you're actually paying for the house. You're paying to borrow money from somebody. So if you make an extra payment every year, it may not seem like much, but it saves thousands of dollars at the end. So in Canada, when we bought our first house, in Canada you couldn't get a 30-year mortgage. You could get a 30-year mortgage, but the rate would only be fixed for 5 years. So the interest rate could change every 5 years. So I felt, like it was an uncertain situation. And interest rates at that time were like 12%. So I wanted to pay off my house as quick as possible. So in 9 years, we had our house paid for because we made extra payments. Yeah, was that hard? Yes, it was. But I wanted the security of that. So question, how many years could you cut off a 30-year mortgage if you just made one extra payment every year? That's my question to you. And all you have to do is Google it, and you will find the answer to that. And you'll be surprised that just making one payment every year, how many years will that cut off in terms of you paying a mortgage on a house? Okay, so these are the six steps that Dave Ramsey first talks about, and we'll deal with the seventh one in the next lecture.